It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Hour number two as we roll on here on Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFKA. You know what gets the people going, apparently?
PBR.
PBR.
And told you it was good.
It's not no. No. Damn you, no. The polls are backing me up. This is the one poll in America you can trust because I've got the results right here in front of us. But this is getting all over the place. We'll do a check-in on our Facebook poll question. We'll dive in. We've got some more answers coming in. We're also back on Facebook Live here tonight. Nick, I am totally blind. There you go. Nick Armitage of Peculiar Ales joining us back in studio here tonight. Nick, how's it going, my man?
Well, it's busy.
Yeah?
Tired.
Busy and tired.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of people right now. At least you get beer when you're... I mean, question. When you get busy and tired and you're brewing or at the brewery, do you just say, you know what, it's time for a beer?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes meaning... How often? I'm pushing you on this one.
If there's 8 inches of snow on the ground?
I stay home.
So then it's always beer time at home.
No, it's whiskey time
at home. Okay. All right. I'm getting caught up with you here.
Yeah, I brew beer for a living. I drink whiskey at home.
Okay, that's fair enough. That is fair enough. Nick is joining us. We are trying one of his beers right here, which is the...
This is our Tropical Sherbet. Yeah, it's Tropical Sherbet.
Tropical Sherbet. So what's in this? Because there's one of these things that I have a question about that I'll get to, but what is in this?
Passion fruit, pineapple, dragon fruit, vanilla, and lactose.
Dragon fruit. Where is it from? What is it? I didn't think that was a real thing.
It's from South America. It's a very beautiful, pretty-looking fruit. I think it might be grown in Southeast Asia as well. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly not sure.
But yeah, you're saying
yeah,
yes
I'm
on
familiar
that.
With it from Southeast Asia.
So, okay.
Yeah. There you go. Very beautiful, adds a bright red pink color to the beer, tastes like nothing.
So it's food coloring. It's natural food coloring.
Yeah, with a little bit of sugar.
Okay. So is that why? Okay, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that, Sean.
Yeah, it's kind of red.
That's interesting.
It looks like a red ball.
I understand why it's called what it is. So here's the question, and this could just be your fundamentals of brewing. Why not just put food coloring in there? Why spend the money on something like this? Because of the standard of brewery?
A, marketing. B, I don't want to put red number 40 or 5 or any of those into beer. I don't like them. And
I'm going to agree with you on that. I think the idea of adding dyes and coloring agents to beer is kind of abhorrent.
Yeah.
It kind of just like totally opposite of what you'd want to do with a beer.
100%. So we add fun things like dragon fruit, which is way more expensive than red number 5 or whatever the cup
right.
number is. But
that's why I asked the question, because I figured more labor goes into it, more cost goes into it doing it this way. But at the end of the day, you can say there's no food coloring in this. We didn't take the easy way.
Yep. And I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what's important. I mean, you got to put your name on the your stamp on the beers that you brew.
Yep, 100%.
So just to ask a question though. So a dragon fruit salad would be like eating a bucket of water.
Yes.
That just seems kind of weird.
Drinking a bucket of water.
Lettuce is mostly water anyway.
Is it just lettuce? Is that what it tastes like?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
you had it in the salad? I mean, have you had it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's got a white interior.
We're getting into the.
But
I've never heard of this. Do you just like pick it up and like an apple and take a bite out of it, or do you have to peel
you
it
have
and
to cut it? And
okay, so more like a pineapple on that.
Like a pineapple pomegranate.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a lot of seeds, which are...
Welcome into fruit talk. We're diving into here tonight.
Seeds get in the way and create a nice crunch.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have to try this.
I was going to say, yeah, I've never heard of this before.
Sprouts has...
It's almost celery.
Yeah.
You know?
It's watery. It's bland.
Yeah.
But it
takes more calories to...
Refreshing.
Yeah, but...
Oddly refreshing.
Think of celery, but sweet instead of celery flavored, I guess.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
It sounds like it goes really good. And while I can't taste it in this particular beer, I definitely taste a little bit of passion fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The pineapple, just pineapple. A subtle pineapple in there.
It's blended
really
well.
The lactose is just, the sweetness comes back. This is a good beer.
It's blended really, really well, for sure. When you go to order a fruit like this, do you plan a couple of brew batches around it, or do you just order just enough for this one beer that you're going to make?
Usually I just order enough for that one
beer. Okay. Okay. See, that's just me not knowing, what that process is. Okay, let's do this. I'll have enough left over to make this, this, or this. So,
yeah, no.
So that kind of begs the question, how many dragon fruits do you order for a batch of beer?
Oh, I order from I order from Source of Nature over in Wellington.
Oh, okay.
The fruit lady.
The fruit
lady. The fruit lady. Wiley Roots, fruit lady.
The fruit lady.
She supplies everybody. So, yeah, I just email or call.
You've got it. You've got it.
Hey.
So you don't go down to Sprouts and
I've
get
got a guy that knows a guy that knows a fruit lady.
No, processing fruit is overrated.
I totally get you on that one.
We're talking with Nick Armitage of Peculiar Ales. So, Nick, our poll question has got the people going here this evening. Let me dive into what we've gotten back so far. It's up where Brew Talk Radio on Facebook. What would you rate a PBR on a scale of 1 to 10? Doc and Sean both said it was good beers. Ryan, our producer, we love very much, is out of his mind and said it was a 10. We've gotten more people who are out of their mind as well. Sarah says, I give it a 9. It's a solid lager, tastes good and cheap. Which is a reoccurring theme. I also like their hard coffee. It's good. Took a picture of it here, too, of the PBR hard coffee. So we may have to bring that in next week when we do this. We've got David chiming in with a 6.573. Very excellent score. We all know that you don't just give it a one number rating. Jenna's.
Unless it's a 10. Three.
Unless it's a 10. Unless it's a 10. You can't have a 10.1. Keith says 6. Solid lager. Nothing special. And then I believe we had one more that I needed to get to here. No, that may have been it. So we've got people are passionate about their PBR. So that leads us to you, Nick. What would you rate a PBR?
I mean, you can't argue. It's a well-made, executed, consistent beer. So it's a 6. Is it something I'm going to drink? No. I think there's too much corn in it for me. I can taste it. I prefer other cheap beers over PBR, but
like what?
Olympia. That's my go-to.
See, and I don't know if I've had Olympia.
It's in the water.
No, that's Hams is. Oh, Hams is the beer refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Olympia is the water.
It's in the water.
Yeah.
That sounds like a.
That's their slogan.
That's their slogan.
Yeah. No, I get that. It sounds like a cologne. La 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 la. It's in the water. You know, just like that little close up right at the end.
You know what?
I like
in the
it,
70s
though.
And 80s, that's what beer commercials were like.
Yeah.
Right.
What about Rainier beer?
Oh, I can definitely get down on a Rainier. So. Yeah.
I like Rainier. I do. That one is mostly because of the show Longmire. Have you guys anybody seen Longmire?
No.
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 I'm not 50
Sorry.
And a lady.
Wait, I am 50, but not an old lady.
So we said we're taking turns on who's getting beat up in these segments. I guess Nick's coming out at me here, man. Come on now.
Just call him like I see him.
Have you watched a single episode of
Yes.
Longmire? Yes. So you are 50 and a lady.
I don't even know what the show is. What is it?
It's about a Wyoming cowboy sheriff.
Soap opera.
Okay.
With a sheriff.
It's a Wyoming CSI.
So it's like Andy Griffith.
It's a Wyoming CSI.
It's a soap opera.
It's not a soap opera. It's a Wyoming CSI.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
See? What do you laugh?
It's like
Nick just wants to poke fun at me right now.
It's like Columbo then, huh?
I've been drinking and canning beer all day, so
you're just ready. Cool. You're ready for this.
Yeah. So you guys have your own canning line.
We do have our own canning line.
Huh? How many heads?
One.
One. That's a good head to have, right? At least it does one at a time.
I have limited space.
Oh my! One at a time. Those take forever to do.
No, we're running anywhere from 6 to 9 cans per minute.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
So when you guys open up, you obviously opened up right in the middle of a global pandemic. If you had opened up in a normal year, would you have felt the emphasis to put a canning line in?
Yes.
Still? Yeah,
100%.
that was part of the plan all along.
Yep. I think if you're opening in today's day and age, having a packaging option is a necessity. I mean, tap room still is king, but A lot of people still like to drink at home.
I mean, so. And crowlers are one thing, and growlers are another, but oh, cans are so growlers. Much different.
I hate growlers with a passion.
Yeah.
Crowlers, we crowler, and then we can.
So, distribution. Is it just out of where you're at right now? Are you trying to get into liquor stores? Or are you trying to...
If we do, it'll be limited.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Why?
Well, I can't make enough beer to make everybody happy.
Okay.
And I don't want to.
That's fair. But I think these are all like important decisions to make, especially early, because if you overextend yourself, then you talk about the whole business side of the brewing world and the finances that go into it and getting yourself overextended. And now you can't make the payment on this. So that's why I just like to ask these questions, especially to breweries who are new. Now, I know you're not new to the brewing world by any measure of the imagination, but that's why I just want to see kind of what your plan is.
I like to cast a wide net and then pare down.
Yeah.
When you see where the market's kind of dictating you fit.
What have you seen so far?
Lagers are king for us. It's crazy.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We sell more lagers than anything else. IPAs are right there with it, but...
Have you declared a flagship beer yet?
No.
No. Will you? This is one you've been thinking about, so I can see it on your
face. Flagships are kind of a thing of the past.
They are. I think you can
I would. I may disagree on that, but I don't know nearly as much as you guys.
And we're focused on core styles.
Okay.
So we'll always have a pale lager, a malty lager, IPAs, double IPA,
right,
and a stout, a kettle sour, and a wheat on. So
why do you say the flagship? Do you feel like the flagship's a thing of the past?
I think it's a weaning thing for sure, which is sad for me because I think a lot of breweries make great flagships and that kind of put their name out there.
I mean, like Oscar Blues will always have Dale's Pale Ale, but their flagships are allowed to change if there's a better seller, and they're happy to replace one.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so this idea of a flagship never, ever changing is kind of up in the air now.
Right, and that I definitely agree with. I mean, if you've got a beer that you produce later on that's better and you're like, okay, this is our staple, then that can become a flag. I think maybe the idea of the flagship isn't going away, but the idea in which we think of a flagship could be going away, because I think the initial thought of a flagship, that was our first beer, that was our best beer, that's this is where. But now a flagship can be, you could get a flagship beer 5 years later that you can come back. Sean, let's bring Sean in here. He's off to the side. He's shaking his head. What do you think, Sean?
I'm hiding in the back corner. I think that the customer decides if you have a flagship beer, don't they? Because
100%.
At the end of the day, if there's a beer that is selling and everybody wants it and keeps wanting it, it's kind of up to the customers to decide if you have a flagship or not. Because if people want variety, you give them variety. If people want that one beer over and over again, you're going to give them that. And so it's kind of up to the customers to kind of build that base for a fan, like fans of that beer, for it to become a flagship and let it kind of organically and naturally happen.
Yep. And that's the approach we take is...
You're not going to self-proclaim one.
No. Because what happens if I think this beer is amazing? Like, we brewed all-citra pale ale called Sun is Shining. I was like, this is going to be it. I knew it.
Didn't get the response you were looking for.
I mean, people liked it and they drank it, but, a 4.8% American pale ale is just not as sexy as it used to be, even though I probably drank like a half barrel.
Was that before or after it went into the tap room?
Oh, during.
But no, both? Yeah. As it was both out there. We're talking with Nick Armitage of Peculiar Ales, talking about what, flagship, the start of a brewery, the infant stage, right? So now we just got, I want to take a break here in a minute or so, but I this question just popped into my head as well. I think it's fascinating. Now we start to get into, we talked about it earlier, we're in a weird time of the year. We don't have the pumpkin beer. The pumpkin beers are gone. It's not.
We still have ours.
Right. But you're there. I guess they're not rolling. New ones aren't rolling out, I guess. Let me rephrase that. These new pumpkin beers aren't rolling out. It's too soon for some people to be putting out their Christmas, the winter warmers, the Christmas ale. We're kind of in this purgatory, in between seasons.
Stout season.
Is that right? Is that where you call it?
Stout season.
Because it's been 70.
Halloween.
It's been 73, though.
And it ends at Halloween. I mean, that's for some people, it just never goes away.
Right, right, right.
But it's stout season. I mean,
so it has been suggested that it's the November time frame, and we need to find that style that fits that.
This time of year, I'm crushing, you know, like Vienna lagers and.
See, that's what I was thinking too. We're going back to more of a
Dunkels.
The surprise summer before the winter hits.
Right.
Yeah, you want something a little bit malt forward because the nights are getting a little crisp. You want mm-hmm. to sit in front of the fire pit.
It's dark at 5 o'clock.
Exactly. But it's still 75 degrees out.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, something malty is what I go to.
So is that what I don't want to say dictates, but is that what comes into play when you talk about what you want to brew right now?
I brew basically what we are in need of.
Okay.
At this point.
Right. Okay, that's fair. And these are all things that we don't deal with. We see it as, well, Doc and Sean do it from the UNC side. Chad sees what he's getting on tap. I am purely a consumer. I know what I see when I go to breweries, and I know what I see when I go into the liquor stores, and it seems like there's no rhyme or reason necessarily right now for what's on the liquor store shelves, because we kind of are in that little area caught in between.
Yeah, we don't have seasonals this time of year.
Right.
We had pumpkin beers and Martzen's and Fest beers. And
there really isn't a Thanksgiving style.
Which is a shame.
We need to change that.
Well, we have some plans.
Okay. I like that.
If it comes with a packet of gravy on the side.
No.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
The gobble, gobble beer. Let's take a break here. It is Brew Talk Radio. Nick Armitage of Peculiar Ales, our brew hop stop, joining us. Hey, up on our Facebook page right now, our poll question. What would you give a PBR? What would you rate it? 1 to 10. We're also on Facebook Live, too, so if you want to see what goes on behind the scenes, check us out there. You're listening to Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Beer science, beer news, beer, beer, beer. It's Brew Talk on 1310 KFKA.
Maybe better than Journey. I'll think on it. Welcome back into a Brew Talk. Am I way off on that? You guys consensus?
They're better than Journey.
I don't want to hear from you.
Much better than
I don't want to hear from you. Don't really want to hear from you either now.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
Journey.
I don't want to hear from anybody. They're not as good as... No, I'm just kidding. Maybe I'm wrong.
Journey's
okay?
The Taylor Swift.
I doubt it. I've been down...
70s and 80s.
Is Taylor Swift better than Journey?
Yes.
Yes.
Taylor Swift is better than Journey.
Yes. Is Pete Seeger better?
I couldn't name
Bob Seger.
I don't even know who Pete Seeger. I don't even know who the hell Pete. Stop it. This is where I'm putting my foot down. Don't. No. I don't even know who Pete Seeger is.
We're going to have to look some Pete Seeger up so you can listen to him.
You checking it out there, Ryan? I don't even know if I can. I don't even know if I can comprehend what you just said about Taylor Swift. Boo.
You don't
like Taylor Swift? I couldn't even name a Taylor Swift song.
You don't like Taylor
Swift. I don't want to hear from you. You're biased.
Seriously, you don't like Taylor Swift?
I didn't say that. I enjoy some Taylor. I enjoy some T-Swizzle. The old T-Swizzle, though. She really understood it.
The original?
The original. Not when she went all pop and got all fancy.
Well, see... Okay, well, so we're talking about the same thing then.
Do you have Pete Seeger pulled up? Okay, let me hear something. Let me hear something here, Ryan. I don't know who Pete Seeger is, so. Ryan, you may need to pull Doc's name off the intro for next week. You agree?
You gotta wait till the song starts.
I mean, it's, how can he not like this?
From all of you good workers.
You're kidding.
This is American folk.
Oh, yeah, this is old folk.
Is American trash.
1960s folk.
This is Americana.
Shut that off, please. please.
That's
get
not
rid
the
of
one.
That.
That's not the one Journey. I would have played.
No.
Yeah, you stay out
Tiny
of it.
Houses, oh, little houses,
little houses.
All right, bring me some original T Swizzle. Okay, can you work on some original T Swizzle? So if you haven't listened to Brew Talk before, you're probably confused out of your mind. Chad hates Journey with a passion, will not let it play at his restaurant. So I love the tavern. That's the one gripe I have. I never hear any Journey on the radio unless Chad's not around and I slip $5 and then record it and send it to him.
Oh, they all know better.
So Chad is very much hateful of Journey. Doc, this is surprising to me.
Journey is okay. I've seen them in concert a few times, but they are not in my top 50.
Journey is the PBR of rock.
No, hey, don't hey. Say that.
I
no.
like that.
That's not a bad way to relate them.
No, they're six. God, I just a lot of people enjoy them, but they're not good.
They are good. Okay, I may be on the losing end of this. Do you have okay? So wait, so Doc, just was it you that said the Taylor Swift comparison?
Yeah, yeah.
Bring me some. Let it play.
It's poppy. It's catchy. Everybody this, likes it.
Did you see Chad over here?
Little
what are you? Look at Ryan's going off back there.
With your boyfriend, he's upset.
Right. This is
see? This is good.
This is Taylor Swift. This, yeah. I told you I couldn't name a Taylor Swift song, but she's still better.
This is original T Swizzle. Original, yeah. Oh yeah, you can't right here. Can I get that? Can I go up there? Can you hear that? No, a little bit. Oh well, can't do it anyway. There you go. Taylor Swift is okay. Journey is good. You can't argue like. The okay, fact that they've got, okay, but let me make my argument here. The fact that they have a song that almost, I would say, 80% of Americans can sing word for word for word, that has to stand for something.
It's called a hook. It's, yeah. It's a mind worm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hate how many people know the alphabet?
Oh, my God.
How many people have had PBR?
Exactly.
All right, with all of that, I'm tired of this segment. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Beer 30, presented by the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. What do you got? You got T-Swizzle taking us out, too? Let's get out of here. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party at Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Beer science, beer news, beer, beer, beer. It's Brew Talk on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in Brew Talk. We've talked a lot of music tonight. We've talked about a lot of things tonight. But, Chad Young, do you have a time check for me?
I believe it's Beer 30, Tanner.
It is Beer 30 presented by the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. This first beer is presented to you by On the Rocks Liquor, the official liquor store of Brew Talk Radio. They are open till midnight every single night with a drive-thru. Guys, I did check. I know there's election. They changed some things. It's still illegal to drive through a Walmart or King Supers. You can still drive through a liquor store and get your beer, and you can drive through On the Rocks Liquor. This is patriotic beer, America beer, with names or taste or style or whatever you want. I'm going with the traditional Sam Adams here, in traditional meaning just the Sam Adams part. It is the winter lager. It may be a little early to be releasing this, as Nick talked about a little bit, and I don't disagree with you, but at least I didn't bring in the Breckenridge Christmas beer. 5.6% ABV on this bad boy. Let's dive in and get some initial thoughts. First of all, has anybody had this beer before?
Never had it before. But yes. I'm thinking this is pretty yummy.
Okay, let's. Where do we want to go here? Let's start with you, Nick. How about that?
Well,
just your thoughts on it. We don't need a rating 8 yet. No. We won't put you on the spot.
The citrus and the spices that it claims are very subdued, and they meld well with the malty, nutty character of the the malt.
For colder nights, lean on winter lager, a crisp bock with citrus and spices. The clementine orange aroma is especially refreshing during holiday meals and celebrations. Happy holidays.
I would say it's a little light for me for a bock.
Yeah.
Usually I'm looking for 7 and above on a bock.
I was going to say, this one has me a little confused because of what you're reading off the label. I'm not catching any of that.
I don't get orange or clementine.
But what I am catching is a very drinkable beer. I mean, it seems like it's just right up my alley. I could definitely drink a couple or three of these.
Yeah, I
normally not how a bock is.
Should be, right?
Malty, sweet, big, and one, and you're like, well, that was a good beer. I'm going to go take a nap.
Agree. Sean, you got something to say over there?
Yeah, so this falls into the same kind of category of a lot of beers I like around this kind of style of the very malt forward, you know, with a bock. Typically, they're done with decoctions, and that adds kind of a unique flavor to it. I agree. The spices and citrus that they put on there, when you read that, I'm worried that it's going to taste like holiday spice. And it doesn't. I think it tastes like a good bock. Yeah, and I enjoy it. I think it's a good winter beer. It's a good beer for November beer. It's a good candidate for that because it does fit this time of year.
Yeah, it's malty, but it's light.
This is a great Veterans Day beer. This is an amazing beer. I'm actually enjoying this one more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Spices, I don't
Darn
get.
Sam Adams.
I know, right?
Why do you make me
Although,
like you?
I actually have to credit my entrance into craft beer to Sam Adams because that was the first one I ever tried. And
how about that?
I'm actually enjoying this version of Winter Lager.
I didn't know what I was going to think of this. I have never had this either. I like the balance of it. I mean, I think that if you look just visually off of this, this screams snow on the ground to me. The packaging, everything like that, which could be like, okay, do I really want this right now? But I don't think you'll be disappointed if you buy this and dive into it. I think it's a very good beer. Let's get into ratings here for Beer 30 presented by the Tavern at St. Michael Square. And let's start with the owner of the tavern. Let's go to Chad Young with his first rating.
I'll go an 8 on it. Not a bad beer. I enjoyed it. Yeah, 8.
Again, if you haven't joined us, I should have said this, sorry, before I sent it to you, Chad. 8 and above is BrewTalk approved. Anything below is not. And so we try and hold these to the highest standards. Obviously, we're not doing a specific style tonight, so they will all be classified via their own style and whether we would buy them again or not.
And as a patriotic beer, this is not necessarily the most patriotic winter lager I've ever had, but I'm really enjoying this. I'm giving this an 8.5.
I disagree with the patriotic thing. There's nothing more patriotic than taking a beer that's traditionally European, a German specifically, slapping an American logo on it and saying, this is ours. So I'm going to say super patriotic there. I like it. There's nothing.
Was that like a
damn Skippy on that?
I was going to say, was that a small like political statement that we just got here? Was that a weird like message? This message has been approved by Sean Johnson.
But no, I like it. I'm going to give it a 9. I like the style. I think it's very well balanced. We talked on the show a couple weeks ago. If you want to know what beers are popular for the season, look at what Sam Adams puts out because they do a good job of matching the seasonals with the season, and this is a good one. So 9.
I would give it a 9, but it's too light for a bock for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 8.5.
All right. I like this beer. I don't have a ton of complaints about it. The only problem for me is that this is one of those beers that I feel like would maybe sit in my fridge until the perfect time to drink it. I think I would get confused because I'm such a visual, like, let's look at it and see what it says. It's still BrewTalk approved. 8.3 for me, and that is BrewTalk approved. You scared the hell out of me, man. I knew what words were in that.
Great movie, by the way.
My heart just sank. Okay. I hate you. Let's move on here before I go and kick Ryan in the butt back there. what do you got here, Doc?
So this is Anchor Brewing Company's Liberty Ale. It doesn't get any more patriotic than this.
Quit brewed trying to in... sell your beer. Come on.
brewed in San Francisco at Anchor Brewing Company, the same people that make steam beer. This happens to be a 5.9% ABV, and it's a very interesting ale, and I'll leave it at that. How about that?
Nick, Chad, first impressions.
So Sam Adams introduced you to craft beer. You know, Anchor Brewing kind of introduced me to craft beer, their steam beer in particular, but Liberty was up there. And it's pretty interesting tasting it now and seeing what it's like compared to when I first tried it. It seems very different to me now than what I remember from many years past.
Nick, what are your thoughts on this beer?
You know, it's been a moment since I've had a Liberty Ale. We're probably talking like a decade. And this beer does bring me back to the first like craft beers I had, you know, like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Liberty, Sam Adams, Fat Tire. So it's kind of a blast from the past for classic craft beer. But
I've never had this beer before. This is the first time I've had this, and I could sell this. So I could sell this beer to non-craft beer drinkers, and I think that is a big thing when you're talking about it. And I think that this could also, you know, we talked about marketing of why, you know, why aren't there more American-driven Liberty Ale? That's American-driven. It's also something that rides along that line of those blue-collar workers could have this, and it could be one of those relief from the 90-degree weather with a little bit more. Like, it's better than Coors, better than PBR, it's better than that, right? But as Doc just spills the beer over, I think it's great. I do enjoy this beer. I think that for what it is, it's very well done.
I would rather have a PBR. If I'm being perfectly honest,
I would rather you not talk anymore. I'm just kidding, Sean.
You know,
sorry.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I got into a lot of craft beer, but Anchor was never one of my go-to six packs at the liquor store. This one, to me, just personally, it's got this, like, for me, just some astringency, some drying of my palate that I don't think is refreshing. You know, I think that when you kind of look at the color and look at all that, you kind of expect it to almost be a lager because it's Liberty Ale. You're kind of assuming like, oh, it's that Budweiser kind of follow along the path of American lager. And it's not that, which is a little confusing at first if you just take it at face value of what you probably expect an American branded beer to be. And yeah, I you know, it's not a bad beer, but it's not one that I'm looking at and saying, oh, where's the nearest liquor store that I can get this?
Well, Doc, any quick thoughts here before we get into ratings?
Just a real quick thought. This is, for me, it's very similar to Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. It is a West Coast Pale Ale. It does have a little bit of astringent bitterness on it. To me, it's a classic example of a Pale Ale. I mean, it's only been around since 1975. But I think it's quite tasty to me.
It is. I enjoy it as well. How about we slide that mic over there, and we'll go to Sean first for rating here. Again, 8 and above is BrewTalk approved.
Yeah, I wouldn't order this one again. I'm going to give it a 7. It's good, but personally, it just doesn't do it for me. Like, as far as pale ales go and American pale ales that I could order, this one is not very high for me.
Nick?
I'm going to go a solid 8. I would definitely, it's classic, and I think we're finding with the pandemic that a lot of people are drinking classic beers again because we get bored.
Can you say the pandemic?
Pandemic.
The pandemic.
The pandemic.
The University of Ohio, right?
That's right. You have to add a the or the.
So I'm sorry, I missed your rating on 8. I missed your rating on after the pandemic. I don't mind that beer. That's not bad. For the Americanness on it, I think it is more America than Samuel Adams. I have a hard time. What are you giggling? I have a hard time giving it an 8, but I think that's right where I'm going to land because this is, for what it is, I like the diversity of this beer. I think that experienced beer drinkers, I've got a ton of them sitting here at this table, that are still saying that this is very well done. I could also take that to my brother, who's a Bud Light drinker, and say, here, dude, it's fine. And he would enjoy it. And that's what I like about it. So for that reason, I'm going to go an 8 as well.
I'm right there with you. I'm going 8, probably mostly for nostalgia.
But, that's fair.
I think it's a good beer. I would definitely buy a 6-pack and drink it again. But so, yeah, 8 for me.
And I'm right there, too. This is an 8 for me. I'm actually enjoying it. To me, this is definitely BrewTalk approved, but I can't guarantee that it will be when we do all the math.
Unfortunately, the math does not get there. Unless, do we want to take a unanimous vote to kick Sean out right now? No?
Can I jump to, what do I need to do to get it approved?
I think we just need 8.2. A 9. I think, what could we all do to get to a 9? 8.3, 8.6, 8.9. I'm going to move mine to an 8.2. What do you want on yours? 8.3?
Yeah.
8.3? 8.3. What do you want on yours?
Okay, we can do the same.
8.3, 8.6.
I think this one is actually pretty good.
8.8. Do you want an 8.2 on yours?
Yeah, you know, maybe 8.4.
8.4. BrewTalk approved. I don't want to hear it, Sean. No, it's BrewTalk approved. Why? These are American beers. What are you doing playing the Russian, the communist song? Ryan.
Sorry, wrong button.
Is that us bombing the communists now? Is that what we're going to? Are we inciting violence? What? No, I'm just kidding. That one's borderline BrewTalk approved. We don't really put a stamp on that one. Let's keep it going here. I don't want to hear from you. What?
I feel like I wasn't allowed to lower my vote.
No, you weren't. That's exactly. Hey, this isn't a democracy here. We make up the rules as we go. I'm excited about this next beer. I love the labels on this one. So let's dive in. Chad, what beer did you bring us?
So this is also from San Francisco, I believe. 21st Amendment Brewery.
Yes.
Brew Free or Die IPA. Got a great picture of Mount Rushmore there and good old Abe Lincoln with a handful of hops.
He looks like he's about to punch somebody in the face with a handful of hops.
Because, you know, America.
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 That's those Russians, those communists.
let's dive in.
Just FYI, this, remember, is the brewery that made the controversial...
the worst beer we've ever had on this program.
Controversial come hell or high watermelon.
Have you had that beer, Nick?
No. No, I struggle with anything melon in a beer. Watermelon can be done, but Anderson Valley kind of peaked.
Now, it could have been the age of the beer that we had, but right. I'll tell you right now,
it wasn't good.
It was not.
Was it watermelon or was it?
It was watermelon.
It was urinal cake. That's literally.
Well, that's what
that was the description.
So I actually gave it a score. The rest of the group did not.
We gave it zeros. We couldn't finish the beer. It was that bad.
I'm going to say this is I didn't have that beer, but I'm going to probably
this is already
this is significantly
this is
better.
Better because I could drink a whole can.
Right. We did the worst beers that we could find, beer we'd never buy again. Chad conveniently wasn't here that night, but Doc brought some in, we all brought some in. Sean and I took a couple of sips from that come hell or high watermelon. We couldn't do it.
They left That's the only, studio.
We've done this show for 4 years now. We could not. That's the first beer that anybody's ever dumped out on BrewTalk. So I think they may redeem themselves here tonight, though. So let's get back on track here with this IPA here that we've got. Thoughts on it?
It's a classic West Coast IPA. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice drying bitterness to it. It's definitely bitter and hoppy.
The nose on it for me, I love that now. And that was something a couple of years ago. I would have said, what? I'm scared of this. I love it now. I think that it quit it.
It's the IPA threshold.
It is. Yeah. It's great. It's great. I really do like this. And
just for reference, 7%
Who? Okay.
70 IBUs.
Sure.
No IBUs.
Yeah. Sure. The 70 looks really good next to that 7 on the can.
Yeah.
I think this is pushing right on the edge of the double IPA. Versus IPA kind of argument, 7% is high for just an IPA, but it's low for a traditional double IPA. I do get some of that kind of alcohol-y sweetness with the hops that you get in some of those higher alcohol IPAs, which I do enjoy as a flavor. I think the hops here are balanced but still bitter. So if you want an IPA that is still bitter, then this is a really good fit.
Doc, any quick thoughts here?
This is actually, as far as I'm concerned, an excellent example of a West Coast IPA. There's nothing wrong with this beer at all.
Yeah, I love it. Let's stick with you, Doc. Ratings on this.
I'm going to go an 8.5 on this one.
All right. We'll jump back to Sean. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, 8.
8? Okay. Sean.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8.5. I think this is a good one.
I'm going 8.6. Chad?
I'm going to go 9. I enjoyed it.
This is perfect up your alley. I thought you may enjoy that. That is Brew Talk approved. So glad that beeps.
Interesting song.
Yeah, right. So glad that beeps. It did scare me. All right, we've got one more beer. How long we got here? Should we take a break? Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we got one more beer to get to. Beer 30 is running long tonight. We've got so much to talk about. It is Brew Talk here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. It's Brew Talk on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Just not a whole lot of time left, so let's go through here and wrap up Brew Talk. Sean, what is this last beer we got here?
So we got Voodoo Ranger American Haze. Pretty cool logo of the Voodoo Ranger skeleton with a nice USA flag bandana. 5% alcohol, nice hazy IPA. I cracked open a couple of these last night when something was going on TV last night.
It was the election. We can say that.
Yeah. But we're watching a great British baking show.
Yeah, it was. I was, actually. You caught me.
Very stressful. I hear that the inning still hasn't wrapped up.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, it's nice, nice, hazy IPA. It's very straw-colored. A lot of hops. 5%, so not overwhelming on the alcohol.
What's your rating?
I'm gonna go with an 8. It's just I'd order it again. After the last beer, it's kind of thin compared to the previous one. If we had this one before, it'd probably be a higher rating. But I'm gonna go with an 8.
I'd say 8 as well.
Thoughts on it?
Great execution of a 5% hazy, which is a hard thing to do. 5% in haze can get really watery and thin, but this still has a lot of the hazy characteristics, that fruitiness, that little bit of sweetness. So 8.
I'm gonna give this the benefit of the doubt because this is not nearly as good as the other IPA that we have, but I think that this is the hops in this is just dominating what I'm getting here. I like it. It fits the category. I like the art on it as well. I'll go with an 8.
I'm going with an 8 as well. Two different IPAs for sure. The hazy and much lighter versus the West Coast and a little higher alcohol, but definitely an 8 for me.
I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling it. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, and you guys are going to all raise your scores to make it still hit the 8. To me, I'm just not feeling this one. It's a little too watery. It's just too astringent.
Is it because of the beer that we just came to?
No. It's just in this category of American beers, this one's just not hitting it for me. Something's not right about it. I'll go ahead and be generous and give it a 7.999.
Which does make a Brew Talk approved.
There you go.
I love it. I love it. This beer that we're going to try. Okay, our time's up. We only get so much allotted time here for Brew Talk. Introduce this beer that I've got in my glass.
So this is our Peanut Butter Cups and Pieces Short Snacks. We literally aged it on 70 pounds of peanut butter cups and pieces of a certain variety.
Interesting.
I love it. If you want to hear our ratings of this, if you want to hear us talk about it, we are on Facebook Live on Brew Talk Radio. Again, we've just got a couple seconds here, so let's just check in. We did not reach a consensus. Some people love PBR. Some people hate it. Let's end it at that. Nick Armitage, you'll be back next week?
I will be back next week.
I love it. We will be live from Peculiar Ales on the 18th. Is that right?
18th.
Let's get that math right. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
For Sean Johnson, for Dr. Mosier, for Chad Young, for Ryan Kelly, I am Tanner Schwint. This has been Brew Talk Radio. Everybody, go enjoy a nice cold beer tonight. You deserve it. It's Nick Snacks coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. Cheers!